plate a potential nugget.
But maybe moving to judgment now, for the purpose of the listeners, why don't we start by defining the term judgment? You know, I see that this term is used in different contexts. It'll also help if you could share a little bit around the common misunderstandings or misinterpretations you see of the word.
Well, this is, I'm glad you came into that right at the very beginning, because it is a pretty critical element. And what I discovered, and one of the reasons, again, that my interest was aroused by this, is that there's no established definition of judgment in the context in which it's used in many cases in professional life, or indeed in personal life, though obviously that's less important for definition purposes. And I looked up very carefully how it's defined. Indeed, I looked up how it's defined in different languages to see if I could pin this down. And eventually I came up with a definition of my own, which is a composite of dictionary definitions and what I've heard and discussed. And it is the ability, combining personal qualities with relevant experience and knowledge to form an opinion or take a decision. Now, that combination of the individual, the personal qualities, with the situational aspects, what I know about this that I'm looking at now or thinking about, and the experience I bring to bear, seems to be the critical element of judgment. Most often, I must tell you, when I talk to people about this, they say, before they've heard my definition or we've discussed definitions, they say, oh, well, judgment is really important, you know, but you know, it's not something I can define, but you know it when you see it. Now, that seems to me not quite good enough. If it's going to be so important, I think we need to pin it down. And in particular, if we try to get it better, we need to pin it down.
And maybe a related question, going back to your point about measuring things which are hard to measure. How do we, you've defined what is judgment.
Yes.
Do you have any headline, early thoughts on how we measure judgment?
Yes. What I've done is I've looked at the different elements that seem to make up judgment. This is to get round the business of saying, well, we can't define it, but we know it when we see it. And I've identified six that seem to me the key elements. So in brief, they are about learning. So it's, do we listen, really listen, when people are talking to us? And do we understand what we're reading? The second element is about the trust we place in individuals when we're seeking their advice or looking for information that we haven't got. And this might be, not just individuals, but also sources, because, of course, a lot of information comes from the web and so on. The third one is the experience we ourselves bring to a particular situation, whether we've done this before many times or a few times, and our understanding of what that means in terms of our abilities to face a particular situation or deal with it. The fourth one is our ability to be detached from what we're looking at or deciding on. That's to say, when we come to anything, we have our beliefs and our views. We need to know what those are to make sure we can take those into account when we make our choice about what to do. I'm not saying that, you know, it's possible, and I'm sure it's not possible for us to distance ourselves from all of those, but we need at least to identify them. And with those four, we go into the question of making a choice, looking at the options, and the way in which we do that is important to our judgment. And finally, there's the question, having made a choice, the question is, can we actually deliver it? Is it possible to execute this choice we've made? Because it's all very well saying this is a great idea in theory, But a good judgment also means being feasible in practice. So in brief, those are the six elements.
And that's great. And maybe talking a little bit about how you got here, Andrew, we'll dive into each of these six in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
But if you could comment on, you know, how these six buckets evolved over time. Did you have to chop and change, and or are there things that you worked with for a while but had to drop off? Could you talk a little bit about how you got here?
Yes, well, it's a very unconventional piece of research. I've never done anything quite like this before, because what I was starting with is a completely blank sheet, in essence. I looked at a lot of the literature. I looked at the way in which other people had addressed this issue, and it didn't seem to me there was the combination of factors that satisfied me that I could say, this looks like together, this looks like judgment. So the method was to read a lot. I went into many literatures, and in academic life, that's tough because one literature is bad enough. I must have gone through at least 10 literatures in many different subjects. I talked to a lot of people. I quizzed them about what they thought about this, how they made their choices, what went through their minds. And I talked to people in many different walks of life and many different levels, and also at the end in many different countries to try and bring these together. And I was conscious of the fact that this was a list that was very difficult to bring together. And I did it, therefore, quite cautiously. And certain things I felt, for example, I just give you one example, should one include execution and delivery at the end by number six in this? Because you could argue maybe judgment finishes with choice and options that one options once looked at. But actually, it seemed to me that if people made choices that were only good in theory, as I said, that couldn't be a good judgment. The other two elements I just mentioned are risk and timing, because you could argue that 7 and 8 would be risk and timing. But risk is actually very much part of all of the elements I've described. One has to take into account risk at every stage, all the way from how good one thinks the information is, all the way through to delivery. And so I thought that was something that was not a separate element. It was something that was part of everything. And timing, that again is part of several different elements, particularly in terms of the question of choice and of delivery. So those are the kinds of things. I mean, I won't go through the very many stages that I went through to come to this. But one of the things, can I just say, one of the things which I continue to say now, even after I've been working on this for such a time, is if anybody's got any ideas about, you know, why this is wrong and if there's anything else I should be considering, I'm very open to ideas, because I'm conscious of the fact I may simply have missed things, and I'm still very interested in what people have to offer in terms of this particular framework.
Got it. The reason I asked the question, Andrew, was I think when we met in Mumbai about 2-3 years back, and subsequently when we caught up in London last summer, you know, we spoke about one of the dimensions, which was values. And I remember you talking about the values of a leader as being a consideration at some point. But later, I think, I see you talking about detachment, which I get a sense that you talk about the fact that you need to recognize what your values are and ensure that you're detached from it rather than being consumed by it. Is that a fair understanding of how your thinking has evolved?
That's absolutely right, Deepak. And I very much valued our discussions on this. And I know that was something that you felt was particularly important. And I did think long and hard about this in terms of how I approached values. My sense was that the detachment element did not mean, as I said in my introduction, that one should be detached in a sense of being remote from the way one looks at something, but very much aware of the beliefs and values one brings to a particular choice. And One may decide, for example, that one excludes very large numbers of possibilities because of the values that one holds. And that is very much then about understanding that, because I'm sure you and I and anybody listening to this will know that there can be occasions when values collide and people have very different values, and actually the discussion is about different values. So for me, what's important here is to get the values out into the open so that everybody understands where they are. And if there's disagreement about values, we understand that that is the subject of the disagreement and not facts or interpretations and so on.
The one thing that's worth noticing is that the nature of judgment we need to exercise in one context might be very different from the judgment we need to show in a different context. For instance, Rupa Kudva speaks about how she had to fine-tune her judgment muscle given her move from Crisil to Omidyar Network.
I think there's a difference in judgment as a business leader when you are taking business decisions for a business that you are running yourself, compared with judgment as an investor. I think you're one step removed because you're making a judgment about an entrepreneur who in turn has to make judgments about businesses in areas where there is not much data, which are at the frontier of innovation. And so that makes it increasingly, makes it harder in a sense. I feel though that early stage investing is about thinking of the possibilities and figuring out the possibilities and applying judgment to what is the type of business and will this business model and will this entrepreneur succeed. I think that's the judgment we are making. In a rating decision, the judgment is about the risk, you know, what could go wrong in a sense. And in running a company, the judgments involved are a different set of judgments altogether. It's about, competitive strategy. It's about positioning. It's about new products and things like that. So I think the judgments are in three different contexts in that sense. In investing, I feel that initially understanding the world of the startup entrepreneur was important for me to kind of learn how to think as an investor. I think that was the most important part. In terms of commercial understanding of businesses and how the economics of a business work, I think that was less challenging, really. It was more about how the world of technology is evolving and what are these new age entrepreneurs like. I think developing that understanding, I think, was the learning curve.
As leaders transition context, whether inside an organization or otherwise, it's helpful to see how we keep sharpening our judgment muscle to ensure that it's fit for purpose in the new context. Thank you for listening. If this topic is of interest, you might like the playlist Judgment, where we have insights from leaders from across domains speak about their take on the topic. This ranges across Zia Modi, who speaks about judgment in a legal context, Amit Chandra, who talks about judgment in investing, Vinay Sitapati, who speaks about Narasimha Rao's sense of judgment, Dr. Ramachandra Guha, who speaks about Gandhiji's sense of judgment when he took big calls, and so on. To access this, please go to playtopotential.com/tags/judgment.